Welcome back to Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. For many of us, pain is part of daily life. Maybe it's just stubbing a toe, or maybe it's chronic back pain. Either way, a lot of money and effort go into finding ways to reduce pain. But what if you couldn't feel any pain at all? It might not be as great as you'd think. A new documentary called Painless explores the dark side of a real, if rare, condition. Filmmaker Jordan Horowitz joins me now. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
This is a pretty dark movie, I've got to say, but some of the hardest to watch footage is right in the opening scenes of the childhood of the main character, Henry, and all of these injuries that he clearly doesn't feel the pain of, but you realize just how hard it is to watch someone else going through something that you know should be painful.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of the purpose of that scene. Just to clarify, it is a narrative film and not a documentary. But we really wanted to have that documentary feel in the beginning with the home movie footage to really put the audience in the mind of this person and kind of understand why he would be as lonely and reclusive as he is as an adult because of all the hardships he's had to endure as a child. A lot of those injuries that he goes through are based on real research that we did where I had read stories about kids with this condition, a girl who used to stick her hand in a pot of boiling water without even thinking about it and you know, just how serious it is.
I honestly can't even imagine what it would be like to not feel pain in those situations. Do we know what people with a condition like this do feel?
Yeah, I mean, it's based on a real condition. All of the science and medical stuff in the film is 100% accurate. We actually had a team of medical and science advisors helping us. You know, pain is really our first teacher. It kind of, even though we all complain about being in pain all the time, you know, it's the thing that really, like, teaches us how to protect our bodies growing up. And when you don't have that, when you're born without that, it's really, really hard for you to develop that on your own and to learn when you're putting yourself in a dangerous situation. I've read stories about people who are walking around, everything seemed fine, and then they just keeled over and died, and it turned out that their appendix had burst, and they just didn't feel any of the warning signs. So unfortunately, it's very sad. But there are people that live healthy and full lives. It's just they have to adjust, and it's something they always have to be very cognizant of.
Well, to that point, let's hear a little bit of the film. The main character, Henry, as an adult, gets some hot coffee spilled on him while riding on the subway, and his reaction, I mean, he doesn't actually feel the pain of the burn once he realized what happened. Let's kind of hear what he goes through in terms of coping with that event.
Oh, my God, your hand. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. Thank you.
Are you sure?
The skin can continue to burn more than 5 minutes after a scalding liquid has been removed from it. If it is not treated immediately, it can affect the underlying layer of the skin, leading to serious complications.
He's clearly researched and understands the implications of what for many of us would seem like a painful, inconvenient, but not life-threatening situation, but he's having to take all of these extra precautions because he doesn't feel the pain.
Right, and like he doesn't know how, you know, even though it's probably nothing, probably just a light burn, there are chances that it could become more serious if it's not treated correctly, and he's such an overly cautious person to begin with that's kind of why he approaches it the way he does. And, you know, it's interesting, even though he's acting cool and, like, calm and collected to the girl, he's internally really freaking out about it and trying to control that.
And he carries, you know, like a full first aid kit with him everywhere so that in that case, when he got his hand burned, he can put on burn ointment, wrap it up. He's checking his vital signs all the time. And in some ways, it almost seems like his lack of physical pain has turned into a constant emotional pain.
Exactly. He's constantly on guard and he's very wary of going out into the world and dealing with people. Obviously, he's experienced a whole life of injuries and being judged and being made to feel like an outcast and a freak. You know, even though we all complain about pain, you know, it is kind of the one thing that we all as a collective humanity share. We can all relate and empathize with that. And he doesn't experience that, and he feels very isolated as a result.
How common is this condition, this inability to feel pain?
It's extremely rare. I think there's only 36 cases in the U.S.
Wow.
But oddly enough, there's way more cases in Asia. So nobody knows what the cause is. It can be passed down from parent to child, but it's just kind of, as Henry refers to it in the film, it's just kind of a mistake in nature.
And he's obsessed with finding a cure. He's turned his entire apartment into a laboratory. He's working very much outside the mainstream of science, but he has this idea that if opioids can be used to dull pain, then there must be some way to modify them to enhance pain. Is that actually an idea based on something that scientists are pursuing? Is anyone actually pursuing finding a cure for this condition?
I don't think anybody's actively looking for a cure for the exact reason that Henry states in the movie. There's so few of them that there's really no way for, you know, a drug industry or another industry to really turn a profit on that. So I don't think this is something that's being heavily researched, but there was a lot of research that was put into it at some point. And everything in the film, including the type of molecules and things like that he uses to try to cure himself, those are all based 100% on actual medical and science research. Like I said, I had a team of actually three science advisors who really helped me come up with all those ideas throughout the film.
Well, a lot of those kind of issues, both of the finances of whether or not there's any research going on, and also the ethics of what Henry is doing in terms of doing his own research, come up throughout the film. I'm sure this is something your science advisory team kind of helped inject into the film. And at one point, Henry's actually asking his physician for access to restricted drugs to do his research. And all of these issues kind of bubble up into the conversation. Let's listen to that.
All right. It's an interesting idea. I'll give you that. Unfortunately, it's a controlled substance. I can't just write you a prescription.
I mean, you must know somebody from back in the day.
I can't just call one of my colleagues out of the blue and ask for something like that. I could lose my license. Worse, I could go to jail. Now, what you should do? Come up with a proposal. Submit it to a pharmaceutical company.
There isn't a pharmaceutical company in the world who would put 2 cents into a project like this. And you know that because there's not enough people like me to make it profitable.
First rule in being a good scientist is not letting your emotions cloud your judgment. You're too close to this. You got to step back.
That tension that Henry really feels like his own life is in his hands because nobody else is going to do this research. And yet he's clearly not really the right person to be doing the research.
He's so obsessed with this idea of feeling, you know, normal. And that he, for some reason, he has it in his head that he can never have a normal, happy life unless he cures himself of this condition, that he's really willing to do almost anything it takes to kind of further that agenda. And, you know, he really doesn't have a problem doing some things that are morally questionable, as long as it's not hurting anybody. It's all things that arguably can only be hurting himself. And he's kind of sandwiched morally right in the center of Ray, who's his mentor and physician. He's a pain management specialist who is trying to pull him back to this very, you know, moral, safe ground. And Dr. Andrews, who's a rogue scientist, who's pushing, who's even like a much further extreme of Henry. He's a person who is willing to do anything it takes to further his agenda, even if it means hurting people. And Henry kind of wrestles with his morality throughout the film and which direction he's going to go in.
This is such a timely issue, I think, in our society, trying to understand pain and the roots of pain, what makes it worse, what makes it better. What are you hoping to do with this film?
First and foremost, I'm hoping to entertain people. To be honest with you, I didn't intend to make a political movie in the sense of something about pain. I like that it gets us thinking about pain and how we're affected by it, and how even though we think, some of us, you know, like for me, for example, there was a time where I thought I was cursed because I was suffering from severe back spasms, and it really got me depressed. You know, there are people out there who have it worse. If you couldn't feel any pain at all, it would be worse for you. But my real intention was to not only entertain people, but to, you know, I really wanted to express this lonely, alienated character. And I wanted that to connect with audiences more than anything else.
Jordan Horowitz is the writer, director, and producer of the film Painless, which will be showing at the Woods Hole Film Festival this month. Jordan, thanks so much for talking with us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's been fun.
Until next week, this is Living Lab Radio. You can always connect with us on Facebook and Twitter. I'm Heather Goldstone. Thanks for listening.
Living Lab Radio is produced by WCAI in Woods Hole and WGBH Radio in Boston. It's produced by me, Elsa Partan, and Heather Goldstone is executive producer. Funding for Living Lab Radio comes from the Candida Fund, investing in transformative leaders and ideas. Theme music by Stellwagen Symphonette.